Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
The title of my message today is, Why Are You Running From Your Miracle? Why are you running from your miracle? Would you purposefully run from your miracle? No, probably not, right? Would y'all, I couldn't hear you. Would y'all run from your miracle?
No.
How about y'all? Would y'all run from your miracle?
No.
Online Facebook, would you run from your miracle? How y'all answered for him. I love that. That's so cool. They're like, got you, sister. Well, we all run from stuff. You ever run from something creepy, something that didn't look right, a job that didn't feel right, a relationship that you knew wasn't right? You've run from that. Amen. I remember one time we were eating lunch after church a few years ago. Pastor David and I were both in St. Louis, and we were in separate cars, and we ate some wings at Helen Fitzgerald's. Y'all ever been there to get their wings? If not, go after church. It will bless your soul. You don't lick one finger. You lick every 10 between every bite. It's so good. And as we're done with our wings, we get in our car, we go to take off, and I feel like somebody's following us as I'm following David. And it wasn't like, follow me as I follow Christ. You were not invited. And so I called David on the phone. I said, hey, I think somebody's following us. We don't need to go straight home. Let's make a weird turn. He said, I'll go up around this short cul-de-sac with just a few houses, and if they follow us all the way around, we'll know. Well, sure enough, they followed us all the way around. So I immediately called 911. Told them what was happening. They decided where they would meet us, and so we drove and we met the police. They blocked in his car. They met a registered sex offender who had been following us on social media. Well, those kind of weird situations in our life, those things we know we're supposed to run from, they get us on the run. Oh, I'm in a relationship, it gets too tight. I don't know, the boss is cramping. And we start to run. And then we start running from maybe some things that we shouldn't be running from. I remember another time, and this wasn't that long ago, maybe a year or so ago, I was in the mall, and some guy was approaching me too quickly. And so I started walking a little faster. So he started walking faster, so I started walking a little faster. And then he started walking a little faster, so I started speed walking in the mall in my heels, looking completely inappropriate. And he started sprinting, and he goes to grab my arm, and I'm like, what do you want? And he's like, excuse me, ma'am, you left your bag at the store. I was running from my blessing. Have you ever been caught running from your blessing? Did you know that you were running from your blessing? And have you been running from your miracle? Well, let's get into that and let's figure it out. In Exodus 4, if you'll turn in your Bible to Exodus 4. So in Exodus 4, we're going to do 5 verses. In verse 1, it says, then Moses answered and said, now, let's not read this like we're reading a text. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not. How many of you believe Moses did not talk like this? Say amen.
Amen.
Well, I know he didn't because he wasn't British. But he was a person, and he was an insecure person. He was an insecure guy who stuttered when he talked. I don't want to lead people. I stutter. I don't want to be in front. I'm a Hebrew slave raised in an Egyptian palace. I don't know who I am. I'm not properly cultured. The Hebrews don't want me because I was privileged. The Egyptians don't want me because I'm Hebrew. I'm conflicted and I don't fit anywhere and I can't even talk right, God. And he says to God, not in a formal biblical voice, he says, but suppose they won't believe me. That's what the verse says. Go ahead and put that up there, please. Suppose they won't believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord did not appear to you. Isn't that how we feel a lot of times? We're not worthy. How are people going to know? And people give us pressure and trouble. And then we start to doubt who we are. What do you mean you go to church every Sunday? Like all of them? Like every week? What do you mean you tithe? No, tithe. You tithe? What is it? Why? Why do you do that? Why do you give your money to the church? And you serve there too? It's the craziest thing I ever heard. Doubt. Everybody say doubt. Doubt is the enemy's first line of defense. Every time he comes to Eve, first two humans, Garden of Eden, sainted place. He comes to Eve and tries to get Eve to doubt what God has said. Hath God said to you that you should not eat of every tree in the garden? If the enemy made Eve try to doubt what God said, the enemy will make you try to doubt what God has said. He comes to Jesus Christ himself. The enemy said, all right, if you're the Son of God, if he tries to make Jesus doubt who he is, he's going to try and make you doubt who you are, whose you are, and if you could ever hear from God in the first place. Don't feel bad for doubting these things. That's what the enemy does. And that's where Moses is at. Well, they seem to... He's appeared to me. I mean, I'm a Hebrew in an Egyptian house. I murdered a dude and they kicked me out and I'm on the backside of a desert and I stutter. So the Lord said to him, it says in verse 2, hey Moses, what's in your hand? God's going to ask that question of you. What's in your hand? Who are you? What are you holding on to? What's valuable to you? Is it your time? Is it your talent? Or is it your treasure? For Moses, it was this rod, and he answered a rod. And in our culture, we don't understand that answer, so let me explain it to you just a little bit. A rod, if you look it up, in the Bible, in biblical times, especially in Egyptian culture where he was raised, a rod was so important to who the man was that in Egypt, they buried the man and his rod together. The bigger the stick, the more powerful you were. The more fancy the stick, the more powerful you were. It said that you had social status. It said that you were important. It said that you were somebody, which is especially important to a person who feels like they're a nobody from nowhere, who doesn't fit anywhere, who can't even talk. It's his ability to defend himself from a bear, from a lion, from an Amalekite, from an enemy. This was his everything. So when God asked him, Moses, what's in your hand? It wasn't a walking stick. It was my identity, the reason people should listen to me. It's how I get by. It's how I defend myself. It's how I take care of me. Friends, what do you use to take care of you? Your money? What do you lean on? What's your crutch? What holds you up? Is it the car that you pay too much for that makes you feel valuable? Is it the title at work that if they took it away from you, you don't know who you would be without it? Is it the fact that you try to be the Pinterest mom and the Pinterest fails, you hide them from everybody, even your family, because that's how you feel like a good mom? What is this thing that's in your hand? And it's important to know what it is we value because, get this, it's what you value that God is going to ask you for. That's important with the banner you're offering coming up. You see, I was going to preach a version. The message I preached yesterday morning at that conference, oh, it's on Daystar. They put it on live last night on Daystar channel, and you can watch it on the Daystar.com. We were shouting. We were yelling. And I'm like, I am preaching a version of this at Faith Church. It's going to be called My God is Able, and we're going to praise him, and it's going to get awesome. And then God put this in my heart, and I called my spiritual leader, Pastor David, and I said, Pastor David, I have two messages in my heart. And I told him about both of them. He said, you know the right answer. And I said, yes, sir. There's a banner you're offering coming, and if you haven't bothered to ask God what you should give, you're going to be running from your miracle. Because God is going to ask something of you, whether it's your time, whether it's your talent, whether it's your treasure. And it's not just because a banner you're offering is coming. There's a special opportunity to be able to sow, to be able to reap a special harvest. But it's just not about one particular opportunity. I'm telling you, God is constantly asking you the question, what is it that you value so highly that it steals from me? Is it your time at the gym because you should be doing something else? Is it your kids that you're too busy being the best parent that you can't really pray? Is it you're working so hard to get your value from work, you're not investing in your time with your God? Y'all just listening? I think I crawled up in your kitchen and I'm not sure if you like me there. Because in Exodus 4:3, he says, okay, I see what's in your hand, God does. He said, all right, cast it on the ground. Give it. It looks like God asks for everything from us. He wants our life. He wants our finances. He wants our trust. He wants our faith. He wants our talent. God, you want it all. But you know, God isn't a greedy God. With God, it's never for less. It's always for more. Amen. In Isaiah 1:19, it says, the willing and the, when they put it on the screen real quick, Isaiah 1:19, the willing and the obedient eat the good of the land. If he asks us for it, if we don't give it to us, we're disobedient and we're out of the will of God. But if he asks us for it and we give it to him, we eat the good of the land. I love the International Standard Version of that scripture. It expounds on the text a little more. And if you put that up, it says, if you're willing, obedient, you'll eat the best. You'll eat the best. Let's talk about the difference in our mind between good and best. I think a Ford Fiesta is a good car. It's going to get you where you're going. But if somebody's going to give you a car and they approach you and they say, hey, I've got two cars. I'm trying to figure out which one you'd like better. I've got this Ford Fiesta, and I've got this Ferrari. Who's going to say, I'll take the Ferrari? Oh, come on, people. Don't you lie in church. You've seen the movies. You've watched them zooming around. And you thought, I'll take the Ferrari. Can I get an amen? We know the difference between good and best. Now Ferrari, that might not be your flavor. Cars are not my flavor of happiness. I want it to be quiet, I want it to go fast, and I want it to be smooth. And as long as it does those three things, I don't care the color, the type, the make, or the model. Oh, I want it to have room enough for my legs because I got a lot of that. My flavor of happiness is happy. I want to be happy. How do you buy happy? The problem is a lot of us spend a lot of time trying to make money, trying to buy the very happy, and yet we still feel empty and we can't figure out why. God says to me, I'm actually happier now than I've ever been. And I think it has to do with a year or two ago, I was telling God, God, I didn't get time with my biological dad. And you never, God, you don't take stuff away from us. The enemy stole some time with my dad. God, how do I get that back? He said, I'm not going to give you time with your dad, but I'm going to repay you in extra time with your children. Amen. You can't buy that. I have a 27-year-old son who is married for 3 years. He just moved out of the house. I stood in the kitchen and cried, and he bought a condo in the same building that we live in Florida. He moved 12 floors away. We work together in ministry every single week. We office together. I walk to his house in my pajamas with no shoes. That's how far away he lives. I have a 14-year-old daughter who is just standing on the stage leading worship right here. She wants to be a worship leader with her life. You can't buy your kids into your life. They're going to make their own way, but God can put it on their heart for them to be with you, and you can be the happiest mama you've ever been, going, God, I don't know how you do it, but you give me everything. Why? Because he asks us for a lot of stuff, and the only thing I can think of is we must be doing a decent job of giving him what he wants, because he's given me the best of what I want. I don't have a material need or desire that's not met. It's not because I spend a lot of money on me. I was trying to think in the last service, I don't remember the last time I went to the mall, because I can't even think of it. But I do know that I got one of my favorite candles yesterday, and somebody gave me one of my favorite creams yesterday, and I didn't buy it. I've never given so much of my money away on a consistent basis, and somehow all of my needs are met. I'm happy. I give my money away. I give my time away. I give my life away. It's on the ground. It seems like God has taken everything from me. We look at it as a problem, but it's not a problem. We're actually perfectly positioned for God to do more. Can somebody give God a praise? My God, everybody say, my God.
My God.
Is he your God?
Yes.
Is he yours?
Yes.
Do you love him?
Yes.
Do you serve him? Do you pray to him?
Yes.
Does he love you?
Yes.
Is he faithful to you?
Yes.
Does he bless you?
Yes.
He's your God. Say, he's my God.
Yes.
My God shall supply all of my needs, every one of them, the ones you can buy and the ones you could never buy. Freedom from addiction, freedom from sickness, freedom from, you're only as sick as your secrets. That's why the importance of I Connects, you get in those I Connects and you can release those secrets. You can finally lay them down because you're close enough to a people that you know will pray for you and help you find freedom. It's the purpose of the I Connect. And you have a God who loves you even when you don't love you. And he loves you so much that he loves you through not loving you to the point where you finally feel his love enough, you start to love you. And once you love you, you can actually love other people. That's the God that we serve. Not a God that tries to take stuff away from us, but a God that loves us. And yet, things that he asks us to do are going to look crazy, because when Moses put the rod on the ground, in verse 3, it says he put it on the ground and it turned into a serpent. And Moses ran from it because he was smart. If you have a big snake, if you have a stick that appears and suddenly turns into a big snake, please say amen if you would run. Because you're smart. The problem is, what God asked us to do is going to look scary. And sometimes it looks so scary, we'll run from it. And if we'll run from one thing, we'll run from anything. So we start running from what God is asking us to do, because God, I don't have time to serve. I don't have time to help in the coffee shop. God, I got enough going on. God, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time. I can't afford to tithe. We start running from one thing. We start running from everything, and we leave our miracle laying on the ground because it doesn't look right. God's going to ask you to give things, time, talent, treasure, space, availability, stepping out. He's going to ask you to give things that scare you. You don't run from things that you love. You run from things that scare you. And the snake is on the ground. And it's scary. I remember quitting my job in 1999. I was in the corporate world and I was making money, y'all. I was making some cheddar. It's like I brought home the bacon. I fried it up in a pan. Mama paid the bills. And I was married to a guy in ministry. So when I asked God, and I felt in my heart about quitting my job, I was going to ask my husband next, and I'm like, he is not going to go for this. And I said, baby, I think I'm supposed to quit my job. And he said, yeah, God's been telling me that too. So I put down my job, and I went to work for David's dad's church. It wasn't our church, and there was 180 people, and they couldn't afford to pay me, so I worked for free for 4 years. Started shopping at yard sales for clothes. It was awesome. Working for Jesus. And I didn't have an iPhone at the time, and computers weren't really big back then. You still had dial-up AOL where you plugged it into the wall, and it went, you remember that annoying sound? So I had my leads for my sales job on 3x5 cards, and I kept them in this box that was about this long, about this high, and was the width of a 3x5 card. And they were in date order, because if I made a cold call, I wasn't wasting my time. I was going to find out when your contracts are up, and I knew when to call who. It's not that I was a great salesperson. I was just really organized. And when I quit my job, I put that lead box in a closet. And God spoke to my heart. He said, I need you to go burn that lead box. You see, we build in contingency plans if we don't think God's enough. What's your contingency plan? So mine was this lead box, I guess. I hadn't really thought about it intentionally. I just put it away, and God said, don't put that away. You need to burn that. And I'm like, oh, God, it's fine in the closet. He's like, why? Are you going to use it?
No, sir. I think that's the correct answer.
You see, I was walking. I really wasn't wanting to be obedient. I just wasn't wanting to be disobedient. That tension. I know God's telling me to do this. I'm not really doing it because I want to. I'm not doing it with a cheerful heart. God loves a cheerful giver. But I was doing it because I didn't want to be on the wrong side and out of the will of God. And I went and got it out of the closet, and I put it in the backyard, and I set it on fire. It was scary. God is going to ask you to do something scary. Look at your neighbor and say, God is going to ask you to do something scary. And it's going to be scarier than you think, because when he told Moses to pick up the snake, He said in verse 4, reach out your hand and pick up the snake by the tail. Now, we had a dog named Tiger Lily when we lived in the country, and she would bring us these snakes that she had fought and killed, and she would bring them, she'd lay them on the sidewalk, and they would be dead. And that was really awesome to find barefoot after dark. And she would have these big whelps on her face from the snake biting her. And we learned, because snakes move even after they're dead. Did you know that? Creepiest thing ever. So even the dead snakes, you pick them up by the back of the neck. That way they can't bite you. You never, ever, ever pick a snake up by the tail for obvious reasons. Why don't you pick up a snake by the tail? So why would God ask us to do something risky? Something dangerous? Something that makes no sense in the natural? God, this is stupid. What are you doing? If he tells you to do it, he's going to protect you. Now make sure you know the difference between your flesh and his voice. Don't do what you want to do in the name of Jesus and then blame God for the failure. And when he tells you to do it and you pick it up, the snake's not going to bite you. You don't want to do it. You're like, God, I don't want to do something scary. I need you to bless me. I need you to heal me. I need you to give me finances and happiness and peace and love. Fill me, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I'm just going to pray all day and do what seems right to me. Fill me, Lord. And God's like, you're fat. It's like I filled you up. I poured you over. I've overflowed you. It's all over the floor. And you want more? How about you pour out a little bit, baby? So there's space to fill you up again. Come on, clap your hands right now. Nobody know it's you that needs to pour out. And here's the amazing thing about God. When Moses was obedient, everybody say obedient.
Obedient.
When Moses was obedient and he grabbed the snake by the tail, which is walking by faith and not by sight, the snake turns into a rod in his hand once again. And when it took the rod in his hand, it looked the same, I guess, that it did before. It didn't say he grabbed the rod, but it looked different. It didn't say he grabbed the rod, but it shined with the glory of God. It just said he grabbed the snake and it turned into a rod. The difference between the rod that he had before, which was valuable, it was his status, it was his pride, it was his authority, it was his weapon, it steadied him when he walked, it was his ability to get by on his own. He traded in his ability to get by on his own, which was valuable, and he picked up the ability to get by with the blessing and the favor of God, which is priceless. He gave what was valuable, and God gave him back what was priceless. That's the way that our God works. And here's why. The rod that he had before might have been able to defend him against the enemy, but the rod that he had now was able to defend him against the enemy of a million people. You see, there was a day when an Egyptian army was behind him, and he had a million people with him, and there was a Red Sea in front of him. And you know what God told him to do? He's like, Moses, that rod that I gave you, you gave it to me, I gave it back. I want you to hold it up over that sea right now, and I want you to tell that sea to part. And he told the sea to part, and half the sea went that way, half the sea went that way, and the ground beneath him dried, and a million people's lives were saved that day. He gave what he had, and God gave him back a million lives. It's not the only time they saved him. They got out to the desert. In the middle of the desert, they had no water and they were dying. God said, that rod that I gave you, it saved a million lives once. Watch what I can do again. One gift is not going to provide one time, but 30, 60, 90, and 100-fold in your life. Amen? And he took that very rock and he struck a rock two times because that's what God told him to do. And when he did, enough water came out of that one rock for a million people and all of the livestock. We serve a God who is over abundantly blessing for us, friends. Can somebody give him some praise? The same rod went to the Nile in front of the Pharaoh while he was trying to get Pharaoh to release the people. And God said, put the rod in the Nile. And when he did, the Nile turned to blood. And then Pharaoh knew, I am dealing with a man who truly serves the Lord. And then they were in a battle against the Amalekites and they were losing. God said, I want you to take that rod and I want you to lift your arms and I want you to hold it above your head. And when you hold it over your head, you will win the war. I think that's funny when we finally hold God's will over our will. Oh, y'all didn't get that. That thing he asks us to give when he tells us to be obedient and we listen to give him that thing we don't want to give him because that's the way we do life. That's the way I am. That's what I like to do. When we give it to him, he gives it back to us. And when we hold him in his place of authority, the Amalekites could not win the war. Little bonus on that, his arm would get tired. And when his arms would get tired, when he would lower the authority of God to a human level, there's a whole message right there. They would start to lose. And that's why you need iConnects. And that's why you need friends. Because that's when Aaron came on one side and one of his other leaders came up. And they helped hold his arms up when he couldn't do it anymore. So that together they made sure that they didn't lose. But it all depended on the blessing of God. Say, the blessing of God. The blessing of God. This priceless treasure, it's not just for you. It's actually for somebody besides you. If we go to our last scripture in verse 5, he didn't say, Moses, I did this so you could be some big ball and stud, bro. Be awesome. And everybody's going to follow you and write your name down. And you're going to be a prophet. No, he says in verse 5, I did this that they may believe. God's going to bless you. And you're going to get all soaked in the blessing, and you're going to get to do the cool stuff, and the miracle's going to come through you, and you're going to put it down, and God's going to make it amazing. And it's really not even about us. It's so that other people see what happened in our life. Other people see the cancer heal. Other people see our happiness. Other people see our material blessing. Other people see how our family stays together in a world that doesn't. And they say, how did you get that? And you say, let me tell you about my God. He is so good to me when I didn't deserve it. Regardless of my past, he's just that good. So why are you running from your miracle? He's going to ask something that looks scary. And if you don't ask him, he won't tell you. It's going to be hard to put it down. It might be scarier to pick up what he wants you to pick up. But when you do, he will take what was valuable in your life and he will turn it into a priceless treasure and a miracle. With every head bowed, go ahead and give the Lord a praise. Come on. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you need a miracle in your life today, online, Facebook, friends in the room, would you raise your hand for me? Father God, these are my friends saying, God, I need a miracle. So Father, we incline our ear to you. We listen and we ask, God, what do you want me to do? And we listen for the answer. You said the willing, and here we are. And the obedient, God, we endeavor to be. Not only eat the good, but eat the best, the happiness, the biggest, the strongest, the most valuable, the priceless of the land. So God, ask us for what you want, and we will give it. Believing that you are bigger than we are, believing that our treasure in your hand is worth so much more, and that you're faithful to give back bigger than we can imagine. And God, I declare in the name of Jesus that doors are opening, doors of miracle, doors of opportunity, doors of favor are opening to us because we dare to believe that you are bigger than we are, and you are smarter than we are, and you're wiser than we are, and you're more able than we are. And God, we thank you for being so incredibly good to us, and I loose your miracle power right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Was that all right for today?
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.